Yes. And the mind is trying to make sense of what happened. And if it can't make sense out of it, that's where some people can get stuck in their traumas. And that's where counseling takes place.
Welcome back to another episode of Galvanize and Restore with your host, Jessica Concepcion. And I am bringing to you here another wonderful guest, Bonnie Jo Daniels. I hope you are ready because she delivers so much great content for us today. And remember to subscribe so that you can follow the podcast and the upcoming episodes. This is part one of what will be a 3-episode combination. So I hope you enjoy this beautiful conversation. Bonnie Jo Daniels is a licensed mental health counselor and supervisor in the state of Florida who graduated from the counseling psychology program at Palm Beach Atlantic University. She has worked directly with survivors of human trafficking and trauma at both Christ Fellowship Church and Place of Hope in Palm Beach County for the past 12 years. She's the owner of Speak Life Community, a counseling center specifically designed to offer trauma-informed services and supervision to the community. She is certified in TF-CBT, Trauma-Focused Cognitive Behavior Therapy, also EMDR, and Rapid Resolution Therapy, and is currently getting certified in NFB, Neurofeedback. She is a committed speaker and activist with a passion to see people walk in freedom. Her experience includes working with the following agencies to offer supportive services: First Care Pregnancy Crisis Center, Human Trafficking Coalition of the Palm Beaches, Human Trafficking Task Force, and international missionary work in China, Mexico, and the Dominican Republic. She is a community relations specialist certified to teach agencies about the prevention of commercial sexual exploitation of children, which is also called CSEC. She has built a strong network of unity among law enforcement officers, the Department of Children and Families, services providers, non-government agencies that are committed to the prevention and restoration of victims of human trafficking. Hi, Bonnie Jo Daniels. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. And I love the name of your podcast, Galvanize and Restore. I am so excited about today's program.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're really excited to have you here to share your expertise, your experience, and just the wonderful things that you're doing in the community and also working one-on-one with survivors. You have a beautiful heart. And we're excited to just understand more about, you know, human trafficking, what the impact of that is for someone to experience. Mm-hmm. And then even on the other side, just the overall understanding of what sexual abuse does to someone and the healing process. But before we dive into that, I do have an icebreaker for you. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
If you could travel to anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Wow, that's easy because I'm getting ready to travel in a few weeks to Singapore. Ooh. And I've never been to Singapore, but I love the Asian culture. So I'm excited to jump in. I had the opportunity to travel to China in the past.
Oh, wow.
And now Singapore. So here I go.
Oh, my gosh. What are you most looking forward to?
Well, Singapore is like the land of agricultural. So it's like a very, very clean version of New York. No pun intended to the New Yorkers out there, but it's extremely clean and just beautiful, beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Area to go to. So architecture, agricultural, beautiful.
Is that where they shot the movie Crazy Rich Asians?
I don't know. I don't know. I just know Joseph Prince Church is there. That's all I know.
Oh, okay. Are you visiting? By the way, if you are curious, Crazy Rich Asian was shot in Singapore and Malaysia and New York City. Just a FYI for all my film lovers out there.
I'm hoping to. I don't know exactly where my hotel is and location. I'm still doing my research.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Aw. Well, that's going to be amazing. You have to tell me how it goes and just the different foods that you try.
Yeah.
I feel like the Asian cuisine is so mixed with the different street. I think it's the street foods. Yeah. You just go to a market and you just try the different plates.
And all the spices.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And the seafood, if you're a big seafood person. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that's exciting. Where is the last, I know you said you've been to China. So where mm-hmm. has been the another, place that you've gone that blew your mind?
Last year, this time, I was in South Africa at Cape Town.
Oh, wow.
And it is so beautiful in South Africa.
Really?
Oh. And it is like a community of transportation because it's at the very tip of Africa. It's on the bottom tip. And there's just a diversion of ships and railroad transportation and just Nelson Mandela. That's where a lot of where he was in prison and all of the activism there that has happened. It was just a beautiful area. And I would recommend Cape Town to people.
Amazing.
Well, especially your age group.
Yeah. To go travel like a big posse or like a big group.
Yeah, it there was just a lot of young, like 20-something, 30-somethings there. And I was like, wow, people could go here and maybe meet their mate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's so many people.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. And I know that the South Africa accents are similar to like you British. So people always get them like mixed a little bit. So even that's like kind of like an attractive aspect of it too.
Yeah, it's a big Dutch influence too.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So, you know, today we're here to talk about some serious, you know, things that are happening just daily in the daily life of people, you know. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, as a therapist, just how understanding, having worked with survivors, and then even in just learning about, you know, our minds, our emotions, and just how the human person can flourish, what has been, how has it been to understand, you know, what sexual abuse or something like, even if it's one incident, what can that do? What kind of impact does that have on someone, whether they're a child or, you know, whether it starts at 5 years old, 6 years old, or it happens when someone's a teenager, and then also as an adult? What kind of impact does that have on someone?
Well, I think to unpack this, there are so many different types of abuses, whether they're physical, psychological, sexual, mental. There's just so many abuses. But the one thing that they do have in common is it's injustice. And so for the human being, it is a blunt force of injustice that comes against your being of who you are. So it affects us emotionally because it's unplanned, unprepared, psychologically because we struggle with how could this have happened to me or what did I do to provoke this. Sexual, it's an invasion of your own body. You know, so there's just so, that's the one thing that it has in common. And so because it's an injustice, it's not planned. So anything that comes at us that our brain and our body have not had a chance to plan out, like I knew I was going to, you know, get in my car today and drive to work, right? I had a plan on when I'm going to eat breakfast and have my coffee and jump in the car. And maybe traffic was a little, you know, wonky driving in, but I still knew what I was doing. When you have an offense, It comes unplanned. It's an insult to your being. And that's where the healing begins, because for some people, it could be one attack, and that is going to need a certain amount of recovery. And then for other people, it's multiple attacks. You know, could be the same perpetrator in our childhood that is abusing and manipulating over a period of time, or it could be different people that have affected you over a period of time. Like maybe you had an assault when you're in childhood, but then in your teens, you had a bad boyfriend relationship. So it really affects us, you know, in so many different ways. But I think that's the broader way of looking at it, that it's an injustice to our to our being, of who we are, who we've been created to be.
I love that. So because most of the time we think of justice as like it, my mind just goes straight to the justice system, the legal system. So, you know, a lot of people might have the first thought if they hear someone has experience is, well, why didn't you say something or go to the police or, you know, but the realization that it's an injustice to you, you know, it's not even a part of like just it's illegal. It's also an injustice and an affront to your your being as a person, your the love, you know, like how you're being mistreated. And so, you know, breaking down just the how it affects people. So how can it affect someone mentally?
So we'll start with mentally. So generally, if you've had an unplanned injustice that came into your mind mentally, it's going to affect how you think. Why did this happen to me? What did I do? You know, it's going to affect your cognition. It's going to affect how you feel, because you might have been having a pretty good day, and then all of a sudden this darkness or sadness or grief have come over you. So it's going to affect your feelings. It's going to be affect how you behave, your actions, because right after an abuse, you still have to live with yourself. So you have to pick yourself up and do something. You're either going to report, or you're not going to report, or you're going to gather yourself together and go, you know, go back home if you were away, or go to school. You're still trying to control yourself, and your behaviors are affected because you might be moving slowly or not interacting with the world. The world is all of a sudden not safe. So you might have the tendency to isolate yourself, withdraw from people. And even your family that has been proven, if they were not the perpetrator, if your family was a safe place, you'll still withdraw because your behavior is impacted. So we got to remember, emotionally, it is going to affect your cognitions, what you're thinking, your feelings, and how you're behaving.
So the whole person.
The whole person, yes. And whether that's physical or sexual.
And so when it comes to the mental processing, how you know, I can imagine someone's just thinking, okay, like, why did this happen to me? Is that the only thing that is going on in someone's mind? Or are they also thinking about, like, I'm just thinking of flight, like fight and flight mode. Okay. And then also the paralyze, the freeze.
Freeze.
So understanding that, and that your mind and your body, you know, are connected.
Yes.
When someone, if you're retreating, you know, and you're basically like isolating yourself, is that more of the flight? And also, like, you know, you want to keep yourself safe, so you stop interacting with others. You're also just thinking, you know, like, how long does it take for someone to heal or to come back to feel safe? You know, does that take time? Does that happen on its own? Does someone need help from that? What does that look like mentally, like, to come away, to come out of that?
So I think the best thing that I can do, Jessica, is try to explain the impact on the nervous system. Okay. So the immediate action when it is exact happening, you're in imminent danger. Okay. Your nervous system is going to go into either a fight mode, like I'm going to try to fight back against the perpetrator. If I saw the danger and I was like, wow, I'm in immediate danger, I'm going to try to run. That's the fleeing. Mm-hmm. If I sense danger, and I feel like my body is just paralyzed, like I can't move, that's, you know, a freezing response. That is the nervous system whenever it's under immediate attack. So that's one reaction. That's the initial reaction. Once that has passed, and again, if you ran away, then it's going to take your nervous system a while to calm down. If you, you know, tried to fight back, but you were kind of confined to the environment for a while, once that threat has lifted, again, it's going to take your mind. So it's how it affects the nervous system. So there's this immediate fight, flight, or flee response. There's another one that's a little more technical called fawning, but I think for the purpose of our show here, let's stick to the three basics. So there's that immediate effect on the nervous system. And then as the nervous system is starting to calm back down and the person, the being is starting to have their mind and their body come back into like alignment, then there's another phase of healing that goes on.
Okay.
Because that person, you know, afterwards, the one who ran away, they could be just trying, like their heart's, you know, beating really fast. They might have, you know, experienced the threat or near experienced the threat. They still have to calm their nervous system down.
Okay.
Then they're going to go into this whole thoughts and feelings and behaviors afterwards. So it's like two different things.
Wow. Okay. So it's like a whole, they're like reflecting back.
Yes. Yes. And if the mind is trying to make sense of what happened, and if it can't make sense out of it, that's where some people can get stuck in their traumas. Mm-hmm. And that's where counseling takes place. So, whenever I, you know, hear that somebody has had an injustice come, come upon them, as far as the sexual abuse goes, or any type of abuse, I always try to see if, in that moment, how they're doing in that moment, and then how they're doing, you know, a few days later and then a few weeks later, because the mind is trying to make sense out of the injustice.
Yeah.
And you ask the questions, why me, you know, or the world is unsafe, you know, so I'm afraid to go out into the world. So there's just a lot that happens afterwards. But to really define it clearly, it's two different attacks on our nervous system.
So that really makes me think about the ones who are consistently abused, because there's one thing, like as you said, there's one thing that your body does when you're in it, but then once you're out of it, you know, your body's kind of okay coming back to itself, but now you're processing, reflecting what happened. But however, you know, as we know, there's millions of people being trafficked right now. So what is that process? What is happening to them? Mm-hmm. You know, if they are stuck physically, it's not even like they can get away. It's like you are physically stuck. So like I'm thinking of kids who have to see 36 clients a day.
So you're in a process of trying to regain your sense of composure in those moments. We call it homeostasis. Homeostasis is like a balance of your mind, your body, your nervous system, and everything that it takes just to be a person. Homeostasis is a great balancing place. So once you've had an offense happen to you, you're off balance. And then what you're doing is you're trying to regain your balance, but you're very vulnerable. And like you said, if there's multiple offenders in one night, you know, you're being perpetrated on multiple times, you're in such a vulnerable state after the first time that sometimes my kiddos dissociate. Like they actually can't, they've had no time to get their body back in alignment with their mind, mm-hmm. that they're almost in a dissociated state to where it's almost like you're seeing yourself being abused, mm-hmm. but you're separating yourself a little bit. So it's like the way
the mind protects itself.
100%. The mind is driven to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. And whatever it needs to do, if it needs to dissociate because the abuses keep happening, yeah, if it needs to blank on us and then we have no real strong memory, or if there's drugs involved and we really don't have a memory, of it. So it just takes a lot to get back. So when somebody is stuck in it, it's a whole nother process of recovery because it's going deeper into the psyche.
Okay. Is there a difference between someone experiencing a type of depression or anxiety or fears mm-hmm. based off of the trauma that is different than someone who hasn't experienced sexual abuse?
That's a really, really good question. The easiest, most layman terms, I think, of trauma, and I'm not sure who first coined this. I kind of started using it over time is anything that overwhelms your core capacity to cope can be a trauma. Doesn't mean it's going to be a traumatic experience, but it can be a trauma for you. So if going to school for your first day throws you off and you're so afraid because maybe you're more of an introvert and it's hard. It can be like a little baby trauma for you just going to school. Mm-hmm. So anything that overwhelms your core capacity to cope can be seen as a trauma. So it's really hard in that context to know. Now it becomes more of like individual case by case, what it's like to heal.
Okay. There, when it comes to working with someone and trying to find meaning behind, their recovery process and their experience, what does that look like? Because I do believe, we're meant as humans, we're meant to, live a purposeful life and like live a meaningful life. We just crave meaning. That's why all the movies get us, movies, that they leave you with a sense of hope or they leave you with mm-hmm. a sense of beauty in life. What does it look like to have someone come from like such a dark place and to discover a new place where they are balanced, homeostasis, right? Mm-hmm. And where now they can start building kind of who they want to be or who they felt like they've always been, but it's been robbed from them. What does that kind of look like to find those meaningful parts of their life?
Yeah. So it depends on the survivor as they're coming to see their therapist for the first time. We have to look at different assessments. And of course, there's different diagnoses. They could be experiencing extreme anxiety or extreme depression or whatever it is. I take a look at the person and try to assess where they're at. And if they're so nervous, then one of the first things that I have to do with the client is help them learn how to live in their own skin again, just to be able to calm their nervous system down. This is a lot of your somatic therapies that are getting your mind and your body back to being comfortable living in one shell or one tent, as the Bible calls it. And so if that's what I'm seeing in that first session, if I'm seeing somebody that, is experiencing an abuse that happened like, 2 years ago, then that's a little bit different. So for 2 years, they've tried to live, but for whatever reason, they're not growing in their purpose or their meaning. That could be like a different approach. Then I'm trying to look at how they process their trauma. Were they able to actually process it appropriately? You never are going to make a meaning to where it says, this is why it happened, or this is, you know, that injustice is not of God. It is never from that, but it can affect our worldview. So I also have to kind of take a look at where is the client's mind? Where are their thinking going? Are they mad at themselves? Like, I should have never went, you know, to the bar alone as a single person. Are they mad at someone else? Gosh, I should have never trusted that person. Are they mad at God? God, why did you allow this to happen? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those three things that we have to unpack. And all of those three things, whether they're mad at themselves, others, or God, all take a different approach to healing.
Yeah.
But healing is possible. And I think that's why I love this so much. We didn't talk about it, Jessica, in the beginning. I hope you don't mind me diverging
a
minute. But the reason I got into therapy in the first place is because we had operated a safe house. And I wasn't the therapist at that time when we first, you know, when I was first there working. I was working in a different capacity of overseeing, like hiring people and the structure of the safe house. But what I noticed is when we were bringing clients into our home and they could recover there for long periods of time, I did notice we had kind of a turnover of our therapists. And some of them left for very good reasons. They might have been moving or whatnot, but some of them left because the trauma that they were hearing back to back over the girls that were in our home was just like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had such a great trauma-informed team, but when you start to see that much turnover, I was like, no, they're right in the middle of healing. You know, we need therapists that are really trained in trauma and really understand vicarious trauma and how it affects the therapist. Yeah. And good self-care and how to stay strong in the process. And I really just love to see people heal from whatever it is that they've had to walk through, to what you said earlier, Jessica, to get them back to their purpose, their meaning. That is how they're created. They're created for a reason, on purpose, for meaning. And if something or someone is going to steal that from you, then it's up to us in the caring industry, the health industry, to bring them back, get them back on course so they can regain their life back.
And well, that is today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed that as much as I have listening back to it. This woman provides so much profound information on how to look at someone experiencing an injustice, how you can be compassionate, because understanding what's happening to someone's body and their nervous system, and understanding what's happening in their mind, trying to make sense of what the injustice is, you know, whether they're doing it subconsciously or consciously. I believe this information really does help to show that there's things happening beneath the surface in someone's life who experiencing a trauma or an injustice that someone from the outside looking in doesn't understand. And body is such a insane gift that God has given us, and the way it's wired, how it's meant to protect us and everything, it's just so beautiful. But I hope that this episode, you know, was able to show that there is hope, and that God desires to bring hope to anyone who has experienced anything, and that you can walk with a therapist to do that. You can talk to someone that you trust. I think in community, people can foster an environment that creates safety, encouragement, love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to leave us with this verse from the Bible, John 10:10, which says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy." And Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." And I want to emphasize the part about Jesus giving us life, because I know there's a lot of conversation sometimes on how faith, you know, if you're new to the faith, sometimes everything can seem just more of like a rules that you have to follow. Or even if you've been a Christian for a long time, it can feel like you're just following a set of rules to make sure you behave good so God lets you into heaven and not, you know, the other one, hell. And so it, you know, if that's how it feels, you know, like, it's not the truth. You know, like, there's so much joy to be found in living in God's ways, but also there's so much joy that and life that he wants to provide us in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And I hope that if you have experienced any injustice, if you have experienced anything at all, as Bonnie Jo mentioned, she said, it's not just sexual abuse. It's anything that comes against your nervous system and your homeostasis, you know? So take time to reflect, be encouraged that if you are experiencing any bit of concern of, did I go through something? Was that a traumatic event? Be compassionate with yourself, knowing that whatever response you have experienced or are experiencing it, that is something that, you know, that's a way that your body protects itself. And again, get together with a therapist or someone that you trust and express what you're going through so that you can create that environment of safety and comfort and going back to that healing that is possible, as Bonnie Jo mentioned. And I hope you connect with her on her Instagram page or wherever else if you want to reach out to her. She's so lovely. And I will be linking her information in the box below. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening, your morning, wherever you're listening. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.